Hey, what's up? Welcome to episode 118 of the Jock and Nerd podcast. Listener, did you know that the largest regular gathering of Godzilla and Japanese monster fans in the world is held in Chicago? It's called G-Fest, and we decided to check it out. The Jock and Nerd podcast descends onto G-Fest. We get Godzilla historian August Ragone's origin story. The jock makes a couple of new friends, the nerd broke some shit, and then we all had vegan hot dogs served by the dragon lady. Yeah, listener, it was that crazy. Let's check out G-Fest 2016, Jock and Nerd style. Yikes.
It's the Jock and Nerd podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Hey, listener, what's up? Welcome to the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's a nerd.
And we are coming to you live from the Dragon Lady Lounge. Why? Because it's July 16, 2016, the middle day of G-Fest, Godzilla Fest in Chicago, the big one that all the G's go to. Oh, I didn't see
apparently.
I didn't see a lot of G's there.
Gangsters.
I didn't see. I saw some Godzillas. My first G-Fest joining us today. This is most exciting because we finally get to meet one of our friends face-to-face, John Bilotti Jr., all the way from Staten Island into Chicago. What's up, John?
Hello, guys. How are you?
When I first came up, I shook hands. I felt like we've known you for a long time. Like,
no, there was a magic there.
And he's very tall. He's a lot taller in person than he is on the screen, Anthony.
When Tony came into the room, when I first met him, there was a look of confusion on his face because he looked bewildered to be around so many nerds. He's clearly not one.
Also joining us
felt good.
Is John's friend and also amazing Godzilla artist, Nick.
What's up, guys?
How's it going?
Going pretty good.
Nice.
Glad to be a part of this.
This is your first G-Fest?
No, this is my second G-Fest.
Second G-Fest.
Yeah.
So how's it going?
I got to say, I just got to interrupt.
Yeah.
Oh.
I skipped, there's this party on the beach on North Ave with this famous DJ, A-Track.
Yeah. Oh, shit, a jock event.
And I skipped that for this.
Oh, so Anthony, I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
I
made a sacrifice.
You guys, he gave up a jock DJing event on the beach.
For nerds.
Yeah. For nerds. For
smelly nerds.
So I just want to let you guys know that this is all for you. Nerds.
Well, thank you. Let's explain why we are at the Dragon Lady Lounge. Listen, first of all, listeners, this is the first in the long line of crazy stories you're going to hear about our experience at this year's G-Fest.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this podcast might be all over the place.
Just wait. We recorded a lot of audio, and we're going to kind of set it up, and you'll hear it later. But I wanted to talk to these guys about their experiences. We are at the Dragon Lady Lounge because John Bilotti, notorious vegan.
I wouldn't say notorious. I would say passionate vegan.
Notorious vegan.
Yeah, well known.
Is this another label?
No. The notorious VEG.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Is this another label you're throwing on him, like when you call him a Godzilla fanboy?
Yeah, exactly.
Now you have to make amends for that to his face.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean
I'm
to.
Waiting.
Listen, I made good
you
on the
You kind of breezed through that apology. I didn't really feel it.
Shit, I already forgot about all
you
that.
You shooed me away an annoying mosquito.
Bilotti is a Godzilla expert, an amazing illustrator, and a fan, not a fanboy.
Not a fanboy.
Yes. Get that right. Yes.
What is Jeff? It's Jeff Steele.
Wait.
Not Jeff. Your name is that's not it,
Jeff. My name is not Jeff.
What's your
name? My name is Nick.
There you go. White people names.
They all look alike.
Yeah. His name's Nick.
Kill Whitey.
Listen. I don't know. If you look around this table, we're all pretty different.
We are.
That's true. This
it's
is a diverse podcast.
What is Nick Steele?
Diverse
we can leave that
podcast.
In the podcast that I forgot his fucking name.
Okay, great.
In front of his face.
What do you
that's
mean?
Right.
Nick is also
as you text and look up girls.
Oh, I've been literally looking at this.
Oh my god. Okay, hold on. Where are we going with this?
No,
first
sorry.
Of all, we're at Dragon Lady Lounge because of the notorious VEG. But you looked this place up, right? I've never been here.
I did. I was looking for good Chicago vegan hot dogs, and this place came up as one of the best. So I said, let's try it out.
All right. So we take two cars. We leave the convention area. We bring the guys into Chicago. We're in Avondale neighborhood.
Avondale, yeah.
We get here. The door's wide open. There's nobody inside. There's nobody behind the counter even, is there?
No.
And
I literally could have walked out with everything.
It was very strange. We were like, are we supposed to be in here? So I just, of course.
No, Imran, it was strange for all of us, except you. You literally sat down and started setting up your equipment.
Yeah, I was like, yay, we have a place to record. I don't care if nobody's here. At least we get to record.
You were like, yay, a studio.
It is. It's our make. So you're hearing Wheel of Fortune in the background. But we're going to review the food here because we're getting ready to eat some
food. It looks like it's going to be legit.
Yeah. So get ready for that at the end of the podcast. We'll come back. I'll cut that in. But Nick is also a great Godzilla illustrator from the West Coast. You came.
Yes, but I was born and raised in New Jersey, so I went from the East Coast to the West Coast and then out back to here.
Which is why, like, you guys get along. Like, you're very much still an East Coast person.
Oh, very true. I've only been in California for about 3 years, so.
Yeah, and it's a lot different, isn't it?
Than a lot different.
East Coast, so.
But I feel the East Coast gives you that edge.
Yeah.
With California nights.
And stress and agita. And yeah, that too.
Right on. And yeah. Nick's a listener, too. Like, John turned Nick on to the show, and he got excited when we were coming, so I'm glad we all get to meet. So, you guys, how is this compared to, like, last year's G-Fest already?
For me, it looks like it's bigger. It feels bigger. It seems bigger.
Sales-wise?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Bigger.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
That's good to hear.
And Bilotti won an award. Tell us about this award.
I did. All
right. Tallest motherfucker.
Yeah, he is... They thought he actually was a kaiju when he walked in.
The best eyebrows in all of G-Fest. No, it's called Summit Kaiju. They're trying to bring like more awareness to like emerging kaiju-related talents, like photography and art. And they held a contest for Best Planet X Diorama, which is based off the movie Godzilla vs. Monster Zero. And they had four different categories, and one of them was like Best Digital Composition. And I entered my Godzilla vs. Monster Zero poster, and I won first place.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And you got like 80,000 gifts from that.
Yes,
and like a plaque,
I did.
And I think there's a bronze statue of you somewhere.
Yes, in Wicker Park in Chicago, there's now a bronze statue.
Next to that Captain America statue in Brooklyn, there's going to be a statue.
I can't wait. I might go to the ceremony August 10th.
Oh, you do. Send us some photos if you... I want to see what it looks like. And, we talked about how, you know, it's weird to give him a statue, but it's also really cool. Like,
it is cool.
You know.
It's cool.
From my geek side.
Yes, the inner geek is happy, but reality is like, why him and not like, Albert Einstein or Marie Curie or all those other people that
or
achieved great things?
Actual real heroes who died saving people.
Yeah. Mary Riley. No, she was fake.
So this was my first G-Fest, and it was a lot of fun. A couple of incidents happened. We will get into that in a little bit, listener. Anthony, this is your first after a bunch of years.
Yes.
And how is it coming back?
Way different, very overwhelming, more than just one room. I don't remember the exact amount of years I was since I've been back. It's probably been like 15 years.
Oh, shit, long time ago.
I don't know. But when I originally went back then, it was just one room. It's basically like the dealer's alley that was now.
Right, right.
But not like that. Not like as cool. Like literally just tables of stuff. No big setups of toys and really.
Really?
Yeah, it was all on like tables. That was it. And now it's like, what the fuck's going on?
Wow.
It was mad. It's Bluefin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were there. And they debuted their giant burning Godzilla statue there before San Diego Comic-Con, which is huge.
Yeah.
That's big.
Bluefin's a toy manufacturer?
Yeah. Yes.
And
they do the monster arts. Yeah, they distribute the monster arts figures, fully posable figures.
A lot of great old posters. I love the old posters.
The old art is so great.
Just like vinyl toys everywhere.
Bandai. It's called the Bandai convention because that's all I saw there.
I don't know.
Bandai.
I still got my M1 Gorgo.
You did get your M1.
I got to say, though, like when I was driving around looking for parking, I could spot the G-Fest people right away.
Black t-shirts.
Yeah, like it was very noticeable who was coming from this.
Well, it was at the Crown O'Hare Hotel Plaza in Chicago, and it's right across the street from the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. So, of course, there's like 12 conventions going on.
There's a Pampered Chef convention going on.
Okay, that was the big one. That had to be across the street. Chef. Pampered Chef.
It was weird. A lot of like Midwest white women.
Yeah.
And one of them cornered me in the elevator and was like, "How are ya? Yeah, I'm on the Pampered Chef." And I'm like, "Are you from Boston?"
Pampered Chef.
She's like, "I sure am." I was like, "Well, I'm from New York. That means we have to start fighting." She's like, here, take my card. Look at my website. All right, have a good night. I was like, "All right, have a good one. Bye." And I was like, "I'm going to bed. This is too weird."
But it's great seeing that mix of Pampered Chef women and then after hours, like drunken G-Fest fans in the lobby, and there's two groups like trying not to mix with each other. It's bizarre.
The Sharks and the Jets, but more nerd.
So
less dancing.
Well, Imran, how would you describe the typical G-Fest person?
Uh-oh. Well,
without looking at me or Nick,
who gives a fuck if we offend people?
Look, it's no different. It's exactly what I expected.
Is it similar to the nerd Comic Con audience?
Yes, it's a definite crossover.
I would say so as well.
Yes, it was the same guys as Comic Con. I gotta tell you, everyone was really friendly.
Yeah,
and you're gonna hear audio from people we talked to from. You know, some you can kind of get that they're socially, you know, awkward.
You're
but they love.
Notice a theme though in some of the people that we talked to.
Yes. Yeah, so here's what surprised me, and this is some of the audio that you're going to hear from the show because we walked around the convention center. There's a lot of attractive women at this G Fest.
I wouldn't go with a lot.
Four.
I would go with like three or four.
Okay, but interests me is like. We went up to talk to them, and they were all really cool, and they were legit Godzilla fans.
They were, which was even more shocking.
Yeah.
Well, except the one chick who you'll hear. She wasn't really into that Godzilla, but she just started drawing Godzilla.
Yeah, so, you know, there's new people that are here the first year, but clearly they have a passion for it. And then there's, like, dealers, so...
I was actually really happy with the G-Fest.
That's part of the reason Anthony had a...
he cleaned up the best.
Listener, Anthony had a big smile by the end of the day. So that was one storyline going around during the day.
So that's one of the storylines where...
You're going to hear
Imran's running around, like, being a nerd and interviewing people, and I'm literally just picking out the hottest girls to go up and talk to.
And then
push over to Imran to talk to on our show. Someone's dying.
That's Chirac for you, people, right there. It's a normal.
I want to add that Tony literally had no competition whatsoever. Because I was in Artist Alley, so he really had no competition.
Oh, boy. It was like,
I do want to add one thing to be fair to everybody. I've made amazing friends at G Fest, including Nick.
Oh, yes, definitely.
The guys that you interviewed are dear friends of mine. Yeah. August Ragone, Mike Tchaikovsky of Vampire Robots, David Eric Dobko, John Bumpus, James Hartman. Jordan Chin, I mean, Robert Dwyer. The list goes on and on.
Yeah.
And these guys are just great, normal, talented guys.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's an enduring... Like, I met these guys last year, and I've been friends with them. Like, we talk all the time on Facebook.
That's fantastic.
And they're just, like, really awesome guys.
Like, you got Nick into it, right?
Into...
Going to G-Fest.
Well,
we met our first year last year.
Cool.
We're instant besties.
And it was so cute. You guys had a table right next to each other.
We became friends last year, and we were like, let's get tables next to each other. It's going to be a lot more fun.
Right on.
So it has been a lot more fun.
As they mentioned, there's a lot of really cool people here. Even the girls, even though they were like way more attractive than anybody else... they were really cool. They were really down to earth. They really knew their Godzilla stuff, which was surprising. So they were actual fans, which was really awesome.
Yeah.
Really cool to see that, you know.
You'll hear that.
Like Godzilla too.
Yeah, and you're going to hear that in their audio. So like you said, we talked to the Vampire Robots guy. That guy was awesome.
Michael, he's great.
August Ragone, what a nice guy.
Oh, he's amazing.
Listener, you're going to hear his origin story. I just went up to him. I was like, "Hey, what's up? How'd you get into this?" He tells me this awesome origin story.
Yeah, he's great. About
that guy is so knowledgeable of this stuff.
Yeah. And so that happened. So the other storyline you'll hear is me being a fucking spaz.
You're a moron, dude.
And I broke a person's thing that was on sale.
You broke their statue.
That was very expensive.
It was $805.
I'm very much looking forward to hearing this.
So here's what happened. It was...
You got to preface like that I approached. You got to do the whole thing.
Yeah, I want to hear full story.
So Anthony's like, hey, you got to come talk to this girl over here. They're cool. And I was like, okay.
Well, that's not what I said.
What'd you say?
I said she's hot.
Yes. Okay. I was like, let's go. I'm down.
This was me on my second or third time like roaming through. I'm like, oh, hot girl. I'm going to go make a beeline for her and start talking to her about things.
And oh my God, I can't remember any of these girls' names right now, but you'll hear it later. So
her name was Terry, I believe.
Oh yeah, it was Terry. Yeah. So and she's there with a Japanese friend who's he's the hardcore, the expert. So anyways, ooh, the kimchi pancakes are coming. This is gonna be interesting vegan food. So I get over there. I'm like, right on. This girl's cool, and we start talking. And I have my H5 recorder with my headphones and a mic, and there's cords, and it's dangling. And right in front, and you'll hear this in the recording, she mentions this one-of-a-kind hand-painted piece. It's the 1989 Godzilla fighting the original Godzilla.
Oh, the 1998.
1998.
No, 98. Yeah, don't fuck that up.
The 98 Godzilla.
Was 89 is a great Godzilla. Yeah.
What's the 98 Godzilla called?
Zilla.
Okay, so
he's actually called Iguana because
he looked like
really
Iguana.
Yeah.
So it's this hand-painted sculpture of Iguana Godzilla fighting old-school Godzilla. It's right there. It says $850. I'm not paying attention to any of this. I'm swinging my shit around. It knocks it over, and I broke the fucking thing. A part of the end of it chipped off, and the part where the one Godzilla connected to the other Godzilla.
Oh, that
kind of broke.
Separated?
And so Anthony sees this, and he's like, "I'll see you later," and walks away.
You might be able to hear that in the audio. I think I literally say, "Good luck, Imran."
Holy shit, I felt so bad because, look, guys, I'm an artist. I know what it's like on the other side. I felt bad that I broke the shit. So you're going to hear all this. There's awkward silence, but I covered. It was a costly day, but I gave the money. I was like, look, I want to pay to get it fixed. I don't want it. I want you to sell it to someone who actually wants it. And I gave him money to have it fixed. They were very cool about it. The guy
want to reveal how much money you gave him?
Today cost me $400.
So Imran went to his first G-Fest. He's not a Godzilla fan per se.
A fucking idiot.
He spent $400 and walked out with nothing but some audio.
And me and Nick were banned for life from G-Fest for bringing Imran into the show.
For no. The associations with this institution I'm involved with right now.
Like, everyone looked at Imran as if, like, you know, typical nerd.
Such a spaz.
Guy that likes all this stuff. He doesn't like this stuff. He's just breaking shit belligerently.
I'm literally walking in causing... So it was quite... And then we met a bunch of other cool people. We recorded with them. You'll hear that. The point is, it was quite an interesting day already at the G-Fest. Memorable one. One for the books. One that's documented on audio so everyone can see what a fucking spaz asshole I am.
You are a spaz.
But I made... Look, I made good. I made good. And
you paid.
And
did you have
I
to
did pay?
Pay.
No, I look. I'm not gonna not pay. I would if I had money. I would have bought the thing.
Really?
If I could afford it,
you would have bought a broken item.
Yeah, because I felt that bad.
Wow.
What? Because if I was them, I would be like, "You have to buy this now."
I know. They were actually really cool.
So cool about it. So you'll hear them. I can't thank them enough. The Japanese guy was laughing all the time. He goes, "This is actually kind of funny." A year from now, I was like, "I'm glad you think that way, dude." And I was like, "Let me just pay to get it fixed." Because
I just have to say, when you broke that thing, I literally turned around and made it like I didn't know anybody there.
And then I came in. I came into the room bleary eyed, looking for something else, and I see Tony like 100 feet away from Imran. And I'm like, what happened? And he's over there laughing. And I noticed Tony was just hanging out by me. And I'm like, how come he's not with Enron? And he told me what happened. And I started dying. And I was like, let's get out of here, Tony. Tony just walked around.
Oh, my God. I still feel really bad. I feel better that I gave the money to get the fucking thing fixed.
No, I remember what happened. I said, Tony, I'm going to go to Order Sally. He goes, I'm going to go with you. He's like, Enron's on his own.
I wanted no part of that.
Oh,
I wanted zero part
shit.
Of you figuring out
so
that situation.
So if you guys are listening, I don't know. I'm really sorry. And thanks for being cool. It was fine. Both parties were cool. And it just cost me money. I'm an idiot. That's why you have credit cards, people. Did you have anything? Do you come looking for things? You don't really collect those kind of things, right?
No, I definitely collect. I can't say how much I spent because my fiance is probably listening to this right now. We have a wedding coming up, but no. No, I bought all the figures I wanted throughout the year. There was one figure set there I wanted, but it was promised to somebody else. And I already have it, but it was such a good price.
Oh, yeah, I remember
the variants,
you seeing
that. Yeah, the Godzilla Rodan variant. I bought a lot of Ultraman toys, but they were like cheap. You know, $10, $8, $3.
Yeah, the Ultraman guy was there.
Yeah, oh, Ben Furuya-san. Yeah, we caught him in the elevator. We were doing like the Ultraman pose. He's like, okay. And he was like, get away from me, nerds.
That's awesome.
Is he a white guy?
No, he's Asian. Japanese. Yeah.
What's his name?
Ben Furuya.
Oh, I thought you said Ben.
Yeah, yeah. Ben Johnson. He's a played on this kid.
I had fun talking to fans. So you guys are going to hear a lot of people. Because I was just like, why do you like Godzilla? And a lot of people, like we were talking about, it goes back to being a kid.
Yeah.
Nick, why do you like Godzilla?
Oh, we're going to start that right now?
Yeah. I asked all these other people. I haven't asked you yet.
Are you asking?
You have to ask Jeff over here.
Jeff or Nick. I'm not even sure what his name is.
The guest formerly known as Jeff. So do you want to know why I like Godzilla?
What is it about Godzilla
all right.
That makes him so popular?
Oh, that makes him so popular or why I like him?
I just changed the question three times.
I'm going to go into why I like Godzilla.
You pick one of the questions.
Why I like Godzilla. In its simplest terms, I love dinosaurs.
Okay.
But... I don't know. A deeper thing for it for me is I love this idea of this unstoppable creature, this prehistoric thing from Earth's distant past that just comes up and pretty much puts us in our place. Yeah. As people, as society, it's just like, you're all nothing, you know.
Nature rebelling.
Yes, pretty much. Mm. And I really like that. But on the surface, it's also super fun. I love the effects. I love the designs, the characters, the stories. It's just, I don't know. It's that reptilian part of your brain.
I think you might be right about that.
That wants you to see these ancient beings, like,
yeah,
I don't know, keeping us in check.
Yeah. And everyone was like, I watched it when I was a kid with my dad, yeah, and like I still loved it.
You're always started on that young. I don't think that anybody who gets into it in like their 20s.
That's got to be, though, like very rare.
Because I know like everybody is like, oh, I was a kid and, you know, I saw him on TV or whatever. Yeah. Or my uncle showed him to me or something.
I actually met a kid today. It was with his girlfriend, I think, and she was the big fan. They were young, and he's like, oh, I'm just getting to Godzilla now. And he was clearly like in his teens.
Yeah. It's weird. Like,
that's strange to me.
Yeah. Like,
maybe modern fans that are getting into it might be getting older, but maybe. As a kid.
It could have been the legendary movie that came out in America, I think, and that probably said, let me look at what Godzilla is, and then they look, and they're horrified to see, oh my God, these are practical effects? I can't look at that.
But there's just something everyone can relate to about a giant lizard smashing buildings. Like, it's just satisfying.
Well, it is. You remember what I said in that one podcast? You asked me what I liked about it, and I said it's because you feel like you can go and make these movies in your yard. It's that
practical,
hands-on, practical feeling that Hollywood has lost.
The craftsmanship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The suit acting and all that. In fact, there was in one of the rooms, it was cool, they had a whole green screen set up, and they had guys in suits, and they were filming like a scene, an effect off the DSLR, and they were chroma key. And I was like, oh, that's really neat to show people, like kind of give them a taste of what it's like. How do you like meeting your fans? How's that going?
It's really cool. You know, I'm big on social media, like I was telling Nick earlier. And it's really cool to come here. And like a few people said, oh, I see your work on Facebook. And one guy's like, I was going to buy your stuff off of Etsy, but now you're here and I get to buy it in person. And it's like, whoa. And one guy was like, oh, I saw all your progress shots of your Terra of Mechagodzilla poster. I'm so glad I can buy it right now. And it's like, wow, who am I? Like, I'm living in like an alternate universe where this is happening. Like, I'm just a fat kid from Staten Island in my head, you know?
It's a great little niche community. Nick, you like meeting your friends?
It is. Oh, yeah. I mean, same. Like, with what you said, people you're friends with on Facebook see your progress, and they see... I have people come up saying, like, oh, man, your stuff is getting better, or I like what you did differently from last year, or something like that. But getting compliments on art is one thing, but also getting compliments from someone who gets into as much as you are into this thing, and they get what you're trying to do.
Which is another thing I liked about the G-Fest, as opposed to what fucking Comic-Con has turned into
a money-making venture for Hollywood.
And not only that, you can't find people to really geek out about what you're there for.
Yep. You feel like it's like that old saying about, not saying, but when you hear about how living in California is, like you live, it's like nobody talks to each other.
Yeah.
And it's like you're surrounded by millions of people, but like everybody's so far apart from each other.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel at a lot of these big cons. But I got to say, MegaCon, and a shout out to my boy Humphrey Ching. Mm. I hope he's listening to this. Him and his group of artists down there, I'm so thankful that he brought me into that circle of artists. They're supportive and
that's
they're amazing.
Florida one?
Yeah, or in Orlando. It's MegaCon.
That's where you met David Zika.
Yes, that's where I met.
You're saying good things about that con.
Yeah, very good things.
It just shows you who's running the cons is what's determining it. The guys also, we know Daniel Moses, who works for the people who do the Tampa Bay, Indianapolis, and now doing San Francisco. And so it's up to them to kind of draw the line and hold it back so it doesn't get out of control and it remains about the artists and about the actual medium. And you could feel it here at this at G-Fest. Like, these were all huge fans and they had a great time meeting each other.
Yeah.
And it was intimate, but yet, you know, still pretty big. And
I said earlier to someone, they were talking about G-Fest and a family-friendly atmosphere. I said, you know, last year I was new to it. And I met Nick, and I met Mike, and August, and all these people. And it's like a big family. And once you get in, like you're in.
It's great.
And it's not like it's a long process. Like, that was only a year ago. And now we're back, and it's like we've been here the whole time.
And I got to say, this year is more exhausting because now we know so many more people that like I'm getting text messages, hey, John, I'm in the lobby. What are you doing?
Come hang out.
And
That's
awesome. I mean, it's great. I'm not complaining because I'm a social butterfly with that.
It's going to grow and grow. Anthony, well, what are your thoughts on the kimchi pancakes?
I've been using my hands to eat these because I don't know how to use chopsticks.
You're fucking half Asian. You're the most Asian one out of all of us, you asshole.
I know.
Pick up some sticks. It's easy.
I'm not touching anyone's sticks.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
They're in the dealer's room at G-Fest.
There's a lot going on in there.
There certainly is. Look at all these toys.
Why are you talking like that? You never talk. There certainly is. What you would normally talk.
How different? When was the last time you were here?
I don't know, like 15 years ago, maybe?
Was it this big?
Definitely not. Definitely not this big. Definitely not this overwhelming. There's a lot of Godzilla shit here.
But there's other stuff too. They have like non-Godzilla stuff, monster movies,
comic books. Yeah. A little bit of comic book stuff.
Tons of toys. Would you see anything you want?
I wasn't intending on buying anything, but you know, things happen sometimes.
You never know. Where are you guys from?
I'm from Philly.
Really? We can promote your what are you representing? Vampire Robots. TheVampireRobots.com.
Yes.
Tell us about that a little bit.
So I started the company in 2014. We sell a lot of collectibles. There's a heavy emphasis on Godzilla merchandise. That's why we're at G-Fest.
Yeah. How many G-Fests is this for you?
This is just my second.
This is your second? Last year you were here?
Yes.
Is this bigger this year?
It feels about the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was your name again?
Michael.
Michael. Right on. About the same. So what is like, what's your best sellers? You got some like high-end pieces behind you.
We like the cheapest thing we have is $1, or I should say $2 for $1. The most expensive stuff we have is like $450.
And you guys sell all this online also?
Yes, we have a web store.
Where's the website?
It's thevampirerobots.com, but I always tell everybody if you just Google Vampire Robots, we're like the first 5 results.
I love that name, Vampire Robots. How are you going to forget that?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the deal with this comic book?
So I did this comic with IDW.
What did you write? Draw?
I didn't. I just bought the comic.
Oh,
I purchased the comic.
Oh.
But the cover artist is Jeff Zornow. He's over in Artist Alley here this weekend.
Oh, excellent! Oh, right on.
He did this cover especially for me. I kind of told him. I said, "Hey, I had this deal. Like, you want to do this?" And he's like, "Hell yeah!" I said, "Why don't we do like a Godzilla versus Biollante cover? But we'll do it like the Ori art that came out, which is like a teaser poster. It's okay. All an art poster.
Okay.
So that's why it's like the 85 Godzilla, not the 89. And it's a Rose Biollante.
So it's just this. I don't understand. You said you just bought the rights to issue.
This variant. It's issue number 4. And this is a special variant cover done just for Vampire Robots.
Oh, that's really cool.
For G-Fest.
Oh, wow.
We can't legally call it a G-Fest exclusive.
Why not?
Well, G-Fest will get in trouble.
Oh, I see. But you're only selling it here.
For now, yeah. Selling it here first. Remainders will be available on thevampirerobots.com after the convention.
Right, so that's a great, rare variant.
And it's only $5.
And for $5, that's
and
not
And you can
bad.
Get it signed by Jeff over in Artist Alley.
Oh, that's excellent, dude.
I love it. Yeah.
That's a great idea. I didn't know you could actually buy, like, variant rights.
IDW is great that way. You can do it's got a print run of 1,200 books.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Yeah.
I said, you know, that's the minimum you can do. So I said, let's do the 1,200.
You know what's amazing about IDW and Boom and these smaller studios is they with these licenses they have, they're kind of able to keep up with the Marvel and DC because they've got Transformers, they got G.I. Joe, they got Godzilla. Very smart.
Yeah.
X-Files. And they're able to keep up and have sales. It's brilliant.
Yeah. They were like what Dark Horse was doing in the 90s.
Yep, absolutely.
That model.
Yeah.
And they've kind of ran with it. Well, you know, Dark Horse has kind of left it behind. Yeah.
I love those Terminator versus Aliens and the Terminator series from Dark Horse.
The crossovers are the best. Ooh, they were so Batman versus Predator.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That awesome stuff.
All right, man. Thanks for talking to us.
Great. Thank you. Yeah.
Right
good
on.
To talk to you.
Jockin' Nerd!
Giving off a radioactive pulse.
We all have nanites in our blood is the problem. Yeah. We're here. August Ragone. That's how you say your name, right?
Ragone. I don't care what you call me, just as long as you call me.
It's like Kevin Feige. How do you say his name?
I don't know. I still don't know.
Thanks for answering some questions. This is my first G-Fest. I'm a little bit of a Godzilla noob, but I've heard of you.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. We're friends with
it's all bad.
We're friends with my buddy John Bellotti. He's at Artist Alley.
Right. He's a great guy.
Yeah, oh, you know him? Yeah.
Yeah.
Talks highly of you.
I was paid to say good things about John.
Well, it's because of him that he's kind of turned me on to Godzilla. We've done a couple of Godzilla shows.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, how did you get into being like the Godzilla historian?
Right. Okay, well, you know, as a kid, like a lot of other people, it's a long, boring story, but you know, as a kid, you're a young boy and you like monsters, you like dinosaurs, you like monsters, you like monster movies. Godzilla's a giant monster.
Yeah.
That's really cool. You get into that. And as a kid, I was very passionate about Japanese monster movies, and I kind of focused on liking them more than all the others. Very much spurned on by the daily doses of Ultraman assaulting my brain as a young child and ruining my life. And through Ultraman and my passion for Japanese monster movies, as other kids were arguing which monster was stronger than the other one,
right.
I started becoming interested in the people who made them. How did they make this? Who are these people that made this? And I started learning about that through various, there was a fanzine back in, started in the late 60s and ran through the 80s called the Japanese Fantasy Film Journal out of Toledo, Ohio, by a guy named Greg Shoemaker, who's sort of one of my idols and mentors. And so I started learning the technical parts and who the directors were and who all these people were. And I got passionate about that. So when there was information wrong in a magazine like Famous Monsters, like the photo caption was wrong, you know, I would send a letter to the editor.
You know? You were that guy.
Yeah, I was that guy. But I was like, you know, a kid. I mean, I was not even a teenager. I was a kid. And there was a local horror host that was my favorite. He was our local superhero, this guy named Bob Wilkins, who was on. He's actually a Rondo recipient of the Hall of Fame, the Monster Kid Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And he was a host on KTVU Channel 2 in San Francisco, California.
Sounds a lot like a Svengoolie, son of Svengoolie we have here in Chicago. He dresses up and plays monster movies. Yeah.
And Bob Wilkins dressed as himself.
Oh.
You know, he was a spice speckle guy that had a big cigar and he wore suits. And he had very dry humor.
Yeah.
He actually started in Sacramento in 1966 on KCRA Channel 3. Okay. And his first movie he ever hosted was Attacking the Mushroom People.
Nice.
And he told people, turn off the TV, this is the worst movie ever made.
Ooh.
And so all of a sudden, all these people are like, why is a guy like that talking like this about these movies? They're supposed to be saying, watch the movie. Why is he telling people? He started looking through the TV guide on the air and going, on Channel 5, you can watch this instead. Bob Wilkins was one of those guys who didn't put down the movies unless they were really bad. He knew that there were a lot of viewers who were young kids that were into Godzilla.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to insult them by saying, these movies suck or these movies are terrible. So he supported like those kids because they sent passionate letters and drawings. He would show them on the air. And I was one of those kids that wrote him numerous postcards and letters because I loved all horror movies. I was a monster kid. I liked everything. I wanted to see all the sci-fi movies. I wanted to do it all. I wanted to see it all. And just I loved everything. So with that being said, you know, he asked one time, hey, if anybody has any information on Godzilla movies that are coming up, you know, send in a letter. Let us know so we can share it with the fans on the air.
Right on.
So he was doing a public appearance for showing of Jack and the Beanstalk, the Japanese animated movie.
Okay.
This was about 74, 75.
Okay.
Right? Columbia Pictures distributed that picture. So he's going to be there for his Bob Wilkins birthday party and invited kids. And like 400 or 500 kids show up to this, you know, this screening, right?
Wow.
Right? And so I put together this package for him. And I said, this is the next Godzilla movie coming out. Because in San Francisco, we had Japantown. And so they had bookstores. So I would go and haunt all these places and go, oh, look, there's a new Godzilla movie coming out. And I'd cut the pictures out. And I cut the stuff out. And I put some magazines in this envelope, a manila envelope. And I wrote a letter, and I said at the bottom, when you're finished with these, please send them back to me.
Oh, you wanted them back?
Yes.
Self-addressed stuffed envelope inside.
Right. So I handed it to Mr. Wilkins, here you go. And he took it, and I just let him stand back and let all the other kids get his autograph and bask in the greatness that was Bob Wilkins. And so, you know, I thought nothing of it. A few months passed by. Most kids would go, you know how they have that story in some movies? The hero let me down.
Right.
And then I hate him. And then at the end, they all make up and everything's great again.
Right.
I never had that experience. It was like, he's an important man. He'll get back to me when he can.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So a couple months go by, and I come home from school one day. And my mother says, hey, Bob Wilkins called. He wants you to call him back.
He called you.
He called my house.
Oh, wow.
I left my phone number on the paper.
Oh, that's even better than expected.
Right. So he calls me back, and after I stopped doing, you know, flip-flops and somersaults and bouncing off the walls, I called Bob Wilkins very nervously and said, yes, Mr. Wilkins. And he goes, hey, there's a new movie coming out next month. In theaters in the Bay Area, Godzilla vs. Megalon. This is 1976.
Wow.
And he goes, would you like to come and talk on the show about Godzilla?
Wait, how old are you at this point?
I was about 12,
wow,
13 years old.
That's so cool.
Right.
Wow.
So I go on the show, and I brought Godzilla toys that I had, because Japantown, they had sold Godzilla toys. And I brought some Godzilla toys. I sat there. I was nervous as heck. We do this interview, and I felt, like, really nervous. And because here is my idol.
Yes.
And to be on his show was almost like
And like, you are the Godzilla kind of the expert, the go-to guy for him now.
So he started he started calling me his Godzilla expert and then asked me to come. I guess I did a good job and I wasn't a freak like I am being a freak right now.
You're fine. You're fine.
And I guess I sounded mature on television or whatever for my age, and he invited me back. And eventually he started doing a besides Creature Features, which was extremely popular, it was on two nights a week. They had it on Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah.
He started doing a Monday through Friday kids show called Captain Cosmic, 1977.
Wow.
And he based it around buying Japanese TV shows like The Space Giants and stuff like that. He wanted more of that stuff because there was a big explosion in Hawaii. He went on vacation that year to Hawaii. And there was all these shows on TV in Hawaii that were imported from Japan.
He's seeing the popularity increase.
And so he said, hey, let's get some of these shows. And then I came on to talk about the space. He asked me to come back to Captain Cosmic and talk onto the Captain Cosmic show for the first time. Talk about the Space Giants, which he was showing. He also ran the Flash Gordon serials.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah.
Love
so
all that stuff.
Really, it was really cool. He wore a helmet and a costume to hide his face. So.
You know, kids these days, they don't know kind of like, even for me, like the Bozo show or the Son of Svengoolie, they don't have shows like that anymore.
And they have things like Captain Mitch, some guy hosting cartoons in the afternoon, Captain Delta or whatever.
But you could write into these guys, and then you could hear them read your name and your letter. Yeah. They don't have nothing like that anymore.
Like Captain Cosmic had a decoder card, and he'd send secret messages to viewers. You know, you could decode the messages, you know. And they always encourage people right into the station, and they had a fan club card and a certificate and all this stuff. So he asked me to come on, and I talk about the Space Giants, and he goes, hey, I'm trying to get more programming. Are there any good shows you think we should get for the Captain Cosmic show?
Yeah.
So I put together a whole list for him, you know, right there on the spot, and Ultraman, United Irish Television, Johnny Sacco and his Flying Robot, American International Television, so on and so forth. Yeah. I even added all the Jerry Anderson stuff on there, UFO and Captain Scarlet and Thunderbirds.
Man, you are well-versed, a perfect person for this.
I grew up with loving all this stuff. Yeah. So, you know, I gave him this list. He got a bunch of the shows. He thanked me for Johnny Sacco because AIP gave it to his station for 5 years. There's 26 episodes of Johnny Sacco.
Yeah.
$2,500 for 5 years.
That's a pretty good deal.
And he said, thank you. You just saved my show a lot of money. And so at that period of time, he was promoting me as a Godzilla and Japanese film expert. So that's how that started. And then he told me, I came to the station one day to do a shoot, and he goes, I want you to run a Godzilla fan club.
Oh, nice.
So then we started doing this Godzilla fan club where he bankrolled the whole thing, the printing and the certificates and stuff like that. And, you know, and then he was trying to give me my start beyond Channel 2.
Yes,
you know,
yes. So. That is a fantastic origin story, August. I love it.
Yeah, don't make it into a Marvel studio film.
But, I mean, just from so early on, like, you kind of, you just, from passion, you knew. And then, when was the first time, were you getting paid for this? When was the first time you got paid with something for Godzilla?
I think it was... probably one of the first articles I wrote for Video Watchdog magazine.
Okay, okay.
That was back in the 90s. I think it was about 94, 93, 94.
So this is now, a full-time, Godzilla is your livelihood. It's full-time.
Well, I wish the pay was better. I'm not going to quit my night job.
Okay, okay. That's great, man. What, real quick, what your favorite Godzilla?
Well, the original era, the 50s, the 60s, and I have a special space of love for the 70s movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And are you excited for this new one coming out?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people are, you know, arguing about it, and a lot of people are going, oh, it's going to suck, or a lot of people are going to go, I'm going to love it. And I'm just sort of like, I'll wait till I see it. I'm hoping for the best.
Yeah.
And, you know, actually, you know, doing this stuff all these years, you know, now I'm hosting for Shout Factory.
Oh, cool.
You know, Shout Factory, of course.
I've heard
it's
that.
It's a DVD Blu-ray label.
Oh.
And they're putting out all, like, they're doing these amazing Blu-ray reissues of movies. Like, they're doing all the John Carpenter films now.
Nice,
they
nice.
Did The Fog. They're doing The Thing is coming out. They did Escape from New York. These beautiful remasters that they're doing with all these extras. And they have a streaming channel.
Okay.
And which is ShoutFactoryTV.com.
Okay.
And they have all this content. They have Ultraman. And all these shows like Ultraman and different shows. And I'm hosting live streaming events.
Oh, that's great.
And we started last year. We did a Godzilla marathon that ran 24 hours.
Right on.
And we did several others. We've done five since last year. We did a Gamera one. We showed 11 Gamera movies in a row.
In a row.
And I did introductions to every movie. So I got to play horror host myself.
Oh, my God. So now it's come full circle for you. That's fantastic.
And one of the great things about Bob Wilkins when I was a kid was one of the things that we all cherished was on his haunted house set that he had.
Yeah.
was this sign that was tilted all the time. It was in a picture frame. It was painted this his slogan, which was "Watch horror films, keep America strong." And so I have a reproduction of that that I had made.
Yeah.
And I have that on the set with me when I do the Shout Factory specials.
Right so on. So it's a little nod to him. Yeah.
And if I can fit it into the set, I will put a portrait of Bob somewhere. You had the old-fashioned rim glasses.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, and he smoked a big cigar because he had to hold something in his hand because he was nervous when he was on TV a little bit.
Yeah.
But he was a natural wit, never did retakes on his show.
Yeah.
And he would make the cameraman crack up. And you would hear, when you were watching the show and he'd crack a joke, you would hear the cameraman in the studio laughing. Yeah. And that was the beauty of, like, local television back in those days, mm-hmm. you know. So,
it was very raw.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So we've done 5 specials with Shout Factory, live streaming marathons.
Excellent.
My segments can be looked at on ShoutFactoryTV.com.
Okay.
You can just watch the segments without the movies.
Oh, I see.
Or you can go to their YouTube channel.
Okay.
We just shot another one about a month and a half ago. It airs July 31st, which is we're doing the 50th anniversary of Ultraman.
Oh, wow.
And I picked 10 of my favorite episodes, and we bookended it with the first and the last episodes.
That's awesome. That I just love that you get to host now, come full circle
it's
with
great.
Your
you know,
experience
crazy,
from
yeah.
when you were a kid. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you if they want to say hi?
Yeah, if they want to find out, you can find me at The Good, The Bad, and Godzilla is my blog. And that's augustregoni.blogspot.com. And I'm also on Facebook.
All right, I'll put links in. We'll get people to find it. Thanks for talking to us, man.
Thank you for coming by.
Absolutely.
Pleasure.
My first G-Fest. I love it.
Yeah, keep coming back, man. After these messages,
we'll be right back. Hey, listen, isn't this fucking shit awesome? Would it be great if someone actually, like, liked it enough to actually maybe support us? How about that, Imran? Did you ever think about that for 1 second?
Well, look, listener, if you like what you're hearing so far, we do have a way for you to support us.
And how the fuck do they do that?
Go on to jockandnerd.com/Patreon, or you can go on to patreon.com/jockandnerd, which is our virtual tip jar.
It works both ways. Listener, support us for any amount. You're going to get access to awesome bonus content. Rugs has got mini episodes, instant reactions to movies, more geeky audio than you can shake a geek stick at.
Or a geek stick at.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shit.
So go on to patreon.com/jockandnerd and donate today.
I'm Jason.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Blake from the History of Bad Ideas. And we'll get back to your regularly scheduled program here in just a second, geek listeners. But we do a weekly podcast called The History of Bad Ideas.
Yeah, well, we'll discuss things like television or movies or music or games or any other thing that falls into our geek-related podcast knowledge.
You can find us on Geek Life Radio, Fridays, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, or radio-blitz, Saturday, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, or you can listen to us whenever the hell you want on iTunes and Stitcher. Check us out. Roger says goodbye.
Goodbye.
In a world where so many podcasts offer TV and movie news, along comes another one filled to the brim with podcasty goodness that is only slightly better at best.
Admit it, you're always looking for a new brand of meaningless movie nonsense in your podcast diet.
Look for the 365 Flicks podcast on Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, and all good third-party podcast apps. You can also swing by the Facebook page.
Come join in on the adventures of Kev, a pissy ex-video store clerk,
and Chris, a Scottish Whedon Hall.
We are your vocal heroes of pissy opinion.
We bring you all the latest TV and movie news, reviews, and general geeky rants.
As well as a bunch of top fives that you really won't care about. So whether you're Team Iron Man or Team Cap,
you're Team Batman or Team Superman,
drop on by the 365 Flicks podcast, where the Chris versus Kev civil war never stops.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
Anthony was trying to keep his wallet closed at G-Fest, and then I lose him, and I find him, and he has a bag. Anthony, what broke down? What did you purchase?
I bought a Godzilla bro tank.
You did not, to go with your Jock and Nerd bro tank? Let's have a look here.
There you go, Godzilla bro tank with, like, the rising sun.
That's a sweet design.
Yeah.
All right, well.
There's also a hot girl over there, so like I ended up buying it just because the hot girl was standing over
there. Ooh, let's go talk to her. She wants to be on the podcast?
She's selling over there.
All right.
Hi, what's your name? Where are you from?
I'm Cindy, and I'm from Arlington Heights.
Oh, so you're local. You're not... Yep. Right on.
So from Chicago.
What? why do you love Godzilla?
Well,
from a female point of view, I'm very curious.
From a female point, well, my dad is like the biggest fan I know ever, and he's been bringing me to G-Fest. He's been just bringing me around all this stuff since I was probably, you know, in diapers.
Right on.
And it's funny, actually, I was just talking about this, but he used to... like, give me flashcards when I was younger and quiz me on all the different monsters' names.
Yeah, so. Godzilla flashcards. When you should have been learning maybe math or multiplication.
Exactly. Yep.
You were learning what is...
Three-headed one.
King Ghidra.
What'd you ask her?
Which monster was the three-headed one?
See, she knows
King Ghidra,
I mean, she had to know.
That flashcard. You had flashcards.
I did.
Is this... How many G-Fests have you been to?
I actually don't know. I actually haven't been for a while, but I went to them since I was, like... Maybe, I'm thinking like 5 or 6.
Wow.
And I went like throughout my whole childhood until I was maybe like 13 or something.
And then I'm coming back this year.
How, for our listeners, this is actually like an attractive girl.
We'll take a photo, put it in the show notes.
No, for real. Like, like
that's why I was like...
Very rare at a G-Fest, for sure.
That's why I was like, let's go ask her why she's here. But how different is this G-Fest from like the last time you were here?
Honestly, I would say... I feel like this year, at least, like, right when the doors open, it's really crowded.
That's
like,
what I heard. That's what Bilotti said.
There's a lot of people this year, which is really cool to see everybody coming out for it.
And
so.
you're selling, right?
Yeah.
Oh, who are you here with? Let's plug them and give them some love.
I'm here with Sean for...
Showcase... what is it?
Try to say that, Imran.
Okay, it says Showcase Daikaiju. Daikaiju. Look, I'm Pakistani. I can pronounce ethnic words.
There you go.
I got the tongue for it. You know, if you're born with it.
So are you because you're wearing a Pikachu hat?
Yes.
Are you more of a Pokemon fan? Are you Godzilla? What's your nerd thing?
What level Pokemon Go are you at right now?
Right now I'm a 16.
Oh crap! That's that a lot high? Of yeah. That's very high. That's a lot of playing constantly.
It's decent, yeah.
It's higher.
Oh yeah, I know people that are like 20, 21. It's crazy. So.
Wait, what was your first question?
Oh, I was asking her what she nerds out about, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's wearing the Pokemon hat. But she's
and a Godzilla t-shirt. You're like a great nerd.
And when I met her, she was debating between like 8 Pikachu or like 8 Pokemon items, hats, t-shirts. So what's your nerd?
What do you love the most?
Right now, definitely, I am, you know, I am a girl, so I love the cute stuff. So I love Pikachu. And, you know, they just came out.
You're a girl? Nope.
Yeah. No, I love the Pokemon, but.
Godzilla's cute, though.
Godzilla has been something I've grown up with my entire life, so there's that, you know, like the memories there and like, you know, all of that stuff. But for right now, I would say definitely I'm huge Pokemon fan.
Well, I mean Pokemon is sweeping the goddamn world.
21?
Yeah.
21.
Exactly. How'd you know?
I'm awesome at guessing.
Wow. Pretty good.
Did you grow up with Pokemon?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I have way too many cards. That's like, it's ridiculous.
People your age, it's
hitting that.
But she
demographic.
Was probably like 6, right? 6 or 7.
Oh yeah,
Pokemon,
like 6, 7. So I was
you had the Game Boy games.
Oh, yeah.
So you haven't walked into a ditch or into traffic yet playing Pokemon Go? No accidents.
Well,
there we go.
I did fall into a bush.
Playing the game.
I'm not kidding. It was nothing like drastic or anything. I should have been looking, but you know, I walked into a bush and fell into it. So that was probably the worst injury.
Millennials.
What is it about this fucking game that making people lose their common sense and their mind?
Well, I would say since there hasn't really been any, like, everybody loves Pokemon, at least from our generation. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, the younger ones, they don't really know what it is, but they're following the fad.
I'm actually 35. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not
35. He's like 34.
So. I think it's like, it's one of the, we haven't seen anything Pokemon really in a long time, except for like the merchandise and all that stuff. Maybe like they're still, I think they're still running shows and stuff, but.
Yeah, the cartoon was good.
It kind of disappeared for a while, at least for like us.
Exactly. So I feel like they've been withholding stuff for a long time because they're like planning for this game to come out, and then they're like, bam, and everybody is just like flocking. And
it's the 20-year cycle, you know, you bring back things after 20 years and they're popular. Plus, I think it's a nice escape right now. There's a lot of crazy shit going on.
Yeah.
And people are just like, we need to just play a game right now.
Yeah, and it's awesome because, like, honestly, I haven't gotten, like, so much exercise since, like, this game came out. Like, I got, they tell you, like, you'll get awards for, like,
kilometers.
You know,
you're learning kilometers. The metric system also.
Oh, yeah, right? I think, like, and I, one of the days I walked, like, 6 miles playing this game. It was ridiculous. I'm like, I didn't even notice I walked that long until, like, I looked at my phone. I got an award. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I might be taking this too far.
She's in, like, a forest preserve.
You
somewhere.
Just, yeah, but, like, where, I just, the first time I looked up in 3 hours,
where
I'm
am
not,
I going
I'm not sure what state I'm even in. What happened? Yeah. But there's, like, water Pokemon. Okay, back to Godzilla.
Should we got it.
Yes. Where can we find, do they have a website? To buy stuff?
So, wait,
yes, they do.
You guys sell toys?
Yeah.
Okay. So, where can we find that stuff?
They're in
there?
The. Yep, they're over there.
Like, do you know the website?
I think it is showcase.kaiju.com.
Just Google. There you go. And yeah. That's a cute Godzilla, too.
It is. That's why I don't mind wearing the shirt, too.
Are you excited for this new Godzilla movie coming out?
Yeah, I would say I'm excited for it. You know what I'm really excited for? I'm excited because my dad's super excited.
He
hypes me up about it.
See, this is what... This is Godzilla's bringing families together.
It
this
really
one.
Is. Yeah. It really is.
Awesome.
She's actually like me, too. So she's... a halfie as well.
Yeah.
Oh.
Half Japanese, half Polish.
Oh, wow. Oh, and, very similar.
And the funny part is that my dad, he's the crazy one for Godzilla, and he's the Polish one.
Oh, that's it. Not the Japanese side.
No, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You were mentioning
she,
dad.
She look a little bit like Chloe Bennett. A little bit? A little bit?
Chloe Bennett? Do you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Sky from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No.
Oh.
A little bit.
I think she, you could
Chloe
be...
Chloe Bennett's Chinese and white.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She's
but
they all look alike.
Yeah.
There's not that many mixed people out there that are like you know in the forefront. So
that's cool. I'm just Pakistani, 100%. You can't tell by looking at me. It's a long story. I'm in disguise. Favorite. Okay, let's end with this. Favorite Godzilla all time.
Like monster.
Yeah.
I was probably. I mean, I. You know me. I'm a girl, so I like cute things. So Baby Godzilla, of course. But I actually, if you guys know, I love Gamera, which is not technically Godzilla, but he's from the monster family, so I think it counts, right?
Absolutely. Dude, she's a Godzilla fan. She knows. But
She mentioned Gamera, so yeah.
That's how you know.
Straight up.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Even like, that's like there's different levels. So there's like people that know Godzilla and seen Godzilla stuff. And then there's people that know the other kaiju movies, and she knows about Gamera. So she's like...
Yeah, Gamera was also legit. That, like, happy, like, family-friendly, like, you know.
For a while. And then did you watch, like, the Heisei-era Gamera movies?
No, were those the later ones?
Well, those were the ones where it got kind of dark and weird.
I think I saw one of the, like, the first one that they came out with, and I was kind of, like, done with that. I like the happy Gamera.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Gamera that she's referring to is the Showa Gamera, which is very, like... Kitty, like he's basically the kid's
the
protector.
Savior.
Yeah, the kids would talk to him.
It's like Barney Godzilla, Barney Gamera. Oh well, thanks for sharing your Godzilla love with us. That's very interesting. Like that's why I just wanted to ask people, why do you like Godzilla? And everyone has a different story. Right, we're at the dealers in the dealers room at G-Fest 2016. What is your name?
I'm Terry.
Terry, and where are you from, Terry?
I'm from around Chicago.
Oh, so you're local. And your name, sir?
Yasu.
Nice to meet you.
I'm from Japan.
Oh, you're from Japan. First time in Chicago?
Four times.
Fourth or fifth. Yeah.
Right on. And you guys are here. What's the name of like your store? I guess.
We're called What's Up G.
Oh, what's up, G? That's great. You know what's funny is this is my first G-Fest, and I was like, I don't see no G's anywhere. Where are my G's at?
We're right here.
Where are my gravitational forces at, you know? I don't know. So where can people find you? You have an online shop?
Not yet. But, you know, with the overwhelming support that we've received this weekend, perhaps we should. Plus, we've got, like, the best name out of everybody in the dealer's room. So
absolutely.
We might as well make something out of it.
Is this your first G-Fest?
No, this is actually my 10th, and then it's my second working it.
Wow. How long have they been holding G-Fest?
A long, long time.
Wow. And yes. Has it gotten bigger? Since the 90s. Has it got bigger?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. It seems like every year the size of our family here is just growing and growing.
That's fantastic. Do you guys have a brick and mortar store?
We do not.
Oh, so you guys strictly the convention circuit.
For now.
Right on. So what is it about Godzilla? When did you first become a fan of Godzilla?
It had to be sometime when I was little. Yeah. I've always been into stuff like Power Rangers and Jurassic Park. This, of course, it seemed just like part of the universe, so I became enamored with it.
That's excellent. What's your favorite era of Godzilla?
Man, that's not a fair question,
no?
Man.
You can't pick one? Can you pick one, Godzilla?
I would say the original one, but then there's always going to be a special place in my heart for the Final Wars Godzilla, too.
Ah, okay.
Because that was the... At that G-Fest, my first G-Fest, that was the movie that was showing.
What is it about, you think, about the character that he's still so popular 62 years later?
Really, he's so alluring, and he's always, like, constantly changing. So even though it might have a different look, people still want to go see, and it's just a big, beautiful thing. It's almost like it has that it inspires people. It inspires people to come out and gather in places like this, make their own costumes. It inspires creativity, and I think that's another part of Godzilla that's really precious and special and what's carried him so long throughout the ages.
Absolutely. I mean, you take one trip to Artist Alley, and you see hundreds of everyone's interpretation, people making up their own kaiju. It's so great. What do you guys have here that's really special that you offer?
Well, I think this is the most special piece that we have right here in front of you. You see Zilla, or Gino, Godzilla in name only, from that 90s Matthew Broderick movie. And it looks like for a moment he's stomping on the Final Wars Godzilla.
Yes.
But we all know that this scene is probably about 3 seconds before
he flips
Final
him.
Wars Godzilla. Yes. Sends him right into the Sydney Opera House. So this was actually hand-painted.
Wow.
This model here was hand-painted by Takacho 111. He's an artist in Japan.
Is this one, like a one-of-a-kind limited piece?
There are models similar to it, but the way that he painted it, that's completely a unique thing.
So each one is different because it's hand-painted. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And then also this one back here.
Yes.
This is a silk screen drawing.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And it's 4 out of 100 made.
Oh, wow.
And it was autographed by the original artist.
That it's a beautiful illustration. That is, what's the three-headed one's name? I'm a Godzilla noob. This is my first G-Fest, so I apologize. I don't know the names of, but that three-headed dude is awesome.
Oh, thank you. That's King Ghidorah.
That's right.
Yes.
You guys excited for the new Godzilla resurgence?
Very much so.
Shin Godzilla, yeah?
He's going to see it a lot sooner than I can because he lives in Japan.
That's the thing. There's
There's
no plans for it being released in America.
So she likes UFC, pro wrestling, what else? Yeah, UFC and pro wrestling.
And Godzilla.
The Joe Rogan podcast.
Wow.
Perfect listener for us.
You are. You would love... Uh-oh. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
I think, if anyone had to die, it had to be Zilla.
I'm an asshole.
All right.
What?
I am trying to figure out where this piece goes.
This goes right here.
Okay. Oh, wait, no, I found it. Right here.
Oh, shit, dude, I'm so sorry.
All right, now we're going to have to enlist you for labor.
Yes.
For the next,
what can I do?
48 hours.
What can I do to work it off? I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Do we have to send them to the coal mines?
Take a caning, a whipping.
Okay, you buy that poster for atonement.
Wait. Oh, boy. That's a beautiful poster.
It really is, and you said you were a Godzilla nerd, so sure. Yes.
Look, I'll buy something. I feel really bad. Jogging Nerd!
Nice.
Evan, we're here with Evan and Kat. And your
Hi.
Name, sir?
Josh.
Josh.
It's good to be here.
Now, we had talked to Evan earlier, her first G-Fest.
Yeah, she had to man the table. I went and met a bunch of famous people.
So that was your table?
No, that's their table.
Oh, their table. Kat, what is your table? What are you selling?
My table is that table. However, I am there to help make purchases and general beauty.
Aesthetics. I'm just here. I don't know who I'm talking about. Ambiance. On the Jock and Nerd podcast.
So what? What is this? How many G Fests have you been to?
This is our second G Fest.
Second G Fest.
Right on.
And last year we came to observe and take it all in and figure out who we are as fans, what we want to do.
So what? Where did you come up with? Who are you as fans, and what did you come up with wanting to do?
First year I came here, I brought a small amount of toys, and I sold them in line while I was going. While I was waiting in line,
guerrilla style selling.
We got a chair. We pulled it against the wall, and we set up shop.
I literally used I'm probably sitting in a chair that I used as my.
So you made the vinyl figures.
I don't make vinyl figures. However, I paint soft vinyl figures. I do a lot of
custom airbrush
hunting online for those rare figures that a lot of people are trying to get.
And then you put a custom paint job on.
And then I give them a nice, like, beautiful hot rod paint job or
cotton candy heater.
We came up with one today. A Mecha Godzilla. I worked with a customer who asked for a custom design, and we came up with a electric cotton candy paint job.
Neon and swirly. Imran, and tie-dye.
Which kaiju is that?
It's Ghidorah.
This is Ghidorah.
Ghidorah. I don't know. I don't know.
Hedorah. You can go with Smog Monster.
Oh, Smog Monster. I know Smog Monster.
In my opinion, honestly, was Godzilla's most admirable foe.
Ah, Smog Monster.
That was also a very weird movie. Very trippy. You should do a lot of drugs when you see
that movie. I think I would like that movie. Well, I do a lot of drugs for every movie, so it wouldn't change.
That's fine. I like to as well.
Yes. So it enhances the experience. But, Ken, as we've run into a lot of female Godzilla fans.
Yes.
To me, it blows my mind.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's happening, and because nowadays people are realizing that their childhood passion is also their adult passion, whether they're male or female. Mm-hmm. And if there is something to love, then there is somewhere to go and love it with others. You're not going to find it everywhere in your community. But when you get a place like this, and you get friends, and now we have our friend that we've invited, and she's into this world.
Growing the community.
And I believe that there should be more females, more female artists, more female G fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't need to be such a...
Bro thing. It's not even a
There's
bro thing.
A girl here.
Yeah. They were impressed by her short shorts earlier.
Let me ask you something. So, like, you're both attractive girls.
Well, thank you.
Is it, like, kind of a hindrance to the table? Like, do the nerds, like, come up and are, like,
I'll tell you
scared
what. Here's what it is. Here's
Good
what
question.
I've noticed. A lot of times, if they do communicate very well with you, you know, they kind of laugh a lot and stare, which is fine.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed, if I say...
Josh, you can answer this, too.
I say, hey, how you doing?
I'm a pretty girl, too.
Yeah.
They look at Josh, and they're like, what is this? And then they immediately ignore what I've said.
Because that's what I feel.
Our initial theory was if you have, like, an attractive girl at the table, you'll sell a lot more.
That was what...
That's what we would think.
When Josh leaves the table, they flock.
They do.
And
they
don't know what to say. Like, you
Evan's
witnessed
a noob.
Earlier.
She's getting there.
I got that when I started talking to her. I was like, oh,
this
okay.
is a Godzilla toy.
Yeah.
Painted.
But I thought, on the other hand...
But, like, normal society, like... You have, like, that's why you have, like, hot hostesses at restaurants or hot, like, servers at clubs.
Sure.
Because they'll buy more.
Yeah, you bring them in.
But I feel like it's the opposite, especially, like, something like a G-Fest.
Only because they have never had to be thrown into the situation where I have to talk to that person.
Right.
That person is hot, and they're going to sell me what I want. I'm too afraid to go over there.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I think.
So
I
they end
think,
up not getting what they want.
Yes,
right?
I would think
very
that.
Very sad. We need to tell them to get over it.
The nerds are just, nice you're just breaking their mind because they're like, I just wanted Godzilla. There's a hot girl. I can't operate this. I didn't sign up for this. What do I do?
And we decided to be unapologetically hot. So
that's right.
We did. We said,
I don't care.
What
I don't
they're
care.
Know.
There's still one
to,
more day.
What to expect at the very least.
You know, I've been at some Comic-Cons, and some of them, like Wizard World, there's literally like porn actress row. Like, and all it is like middle-aged dudes balding, lining up to sit on their...
Fans are fans.
For $5 to take a... And I was like, when did this turn into like the AVN Awards of the fucking Comic-Con?
I'm telling you, like I said, fans are fans, man. And you know what? We're looking to get into more cosplay. Mm-hmm. Next year, we're going to do the Mothra Twins.
Right on.
We're going to do it right, though. We're going to find loincloths.
I believe they're doing like a
tape them on.
Godzilla pasties. I like it. I hear there's a
good idea.
That's a great idea.
There you go. I'm just trying to help him. I'm brainstorming.
He's an ideas guy.
I'm totally an idea guy. I'm not good on the execution. I hear there's like a costume parade. Later today?
There is a costume parade, but I'd like to see. It's a lot of little kids, which is great. I love that. I'd like to see.
But you want to see like a hardcore. Yeah.
Well, I don't care what you do, make it, you know.
Yeah.
But I would like to see more of the adults getting out of their comfort zone.
I saw there was a dude from that show, Face Off, here. That show. Have you seen Face Off on Sci-Fi, which is like the costume creature game show?
I have seen it.
It's awesome. Yeah.
And he was here?
I think he was here, like maybe talking about making costumes.
Oh, that would be nice.
Kat, what do you like about Godzilla? Why Godzilla?
What do I like about Godzilla? That character Godzilla.
Yes.
I like that he is the balance that takes away evil. But Mothra is really my favorite because then she comes in and she's
typical.
Like, Godzilla, chill out.
Wait, why is it typical?
Well, every girl I've talked to is like, I love Mothra.
It's a female thing, right?
She's the protector.
But I also like Gamora because he's the protector of children and I'm a teacher.
That's also what other girls have
said. Yeah.
Yes, they're like Gamora and Mothra are the two favorites. Yes. What about you?
What about you, Josh?
She doesn't like Godzilla.
Evan's a newbie.
She told us last time. What do you think, Josh?
Josh, what do you like about Godzilla?
Talk late at night.
What's the appeal 62 years later with this character?
He's not 62 years old.
It's 62. That's what the other nerd told me.
I know.
I was corrected. Oh, he's not 62.
It all goes back to, I guess, just drawing dinosaurs, man. You walked around as a kid and you wanted to just destroy shit. So
Can I curse? Oh, absolutely. You can say whatever the fuck you want, dude.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Fuck.
We don't give a shit. There you go. Everyone round. Everyone a fuck on three. Ready? One, two, three.
Fuck.
Fuck you.
Fuck is actually one of the best words, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's a noun, verb, adjective.
It can be used as every part of speech.
My favorites are fuck, goddamn, and Jesus Christ. Well, I can't help it.
I always wanted to be a fucking dinosaur. That's really what it boiled down to. Yeah. And obviously the color green, Godzilla's green.
And who doesn't like smashing buildings?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I was always rooting for Godzilla. I never cared. I wanted to see him destroy humanity. That's really straight up. That's why I liked it.
He was an angry child.
I was an angry child. I probably still am an angry child.
Dude, this is great. Everyone relates to Godzilla like in such a unique way, and it's always based on them as a kid, them growing up. You know, and then they don't forget about it. It's really neat. Power Rangers. A lot of people got in from the Power Rangers.
The hook for Godzilla is like you get into it as a kid because like. It was very kid-friendly, like, in the 70s, 80s. But those are the movies you get exposed to as a kid. But then there's a lot of, like, grown-up themes with Godzilla. Like,
I was going to mention
older,
the original, 54, what Godzilla was.
Right.
His creation. This was not a happy movie, you know. Right. It was not meant to be like, watch this monster stomp around. This was, look what happens when people get involved.
Yep. And when people destroy. Yeah.
We bombed the shit out of you, and now you're sending back Godzilla.
And we created a monster.
We did. Like, I've said this over and over today. Had we never bombed the shit out of fucking Nagasaki and Hiroshima, there would be no Godzilla.
Oh, my God.
Ugh.
Oh, man.
It is meant, Godzilla,
I think, that's serious.
Every movie is always to remind us of our past. I think you should always... Look at the moral to every Godzilla movie is to always reflect on the past, and that's what all. I think they just now had President Obama just now went to Japan for the first time.
Yep,
that's pretty much essentially the underlying thesis is that there was never any closure.
Like the first sitting the first sitting president to go be like, look, we're cool now.
Yeah, and now I think hopefully we're cool now.
It's been a while.
Because they gave us Shin Gojira, which is coming out.
What do you guys think about that? What you seen? You excited for it?
I really really like the suit.
Wow.
I think the suit is scary.
Evan, nothing. All right.
Josh?
I'm looking forward to watching.
There we go.
Josh, do you like the design of Shin Gojira?
Absolutely. It embodies what I initially was interested in. It's absolute pure evil. It's the most evil one.
It looks scary, but can I just ask, why are his arms so small and his hips so wide? Is he going to get pregnant later? Are there going to be Godzilla babies? He's got a badunkadunk in this fucking Godzilla.
Well, maybe he's going to twerk in the movie. That's really popular these days.
Yeah, I don't think they've had a Godzilla twerking.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's how he smashes buildings.
He's always had... the thunder thigh debate is that it's every Godzilla suit had thunder thighs, and I really just love that.
Okay.
They've all, you're right, they have all had thunder thighs, but I feel like this one is, his back is huge, like, They're wide.
Well, Gojira translates from Japanese into gorilla whale.
Yep.
So if you really want to, like, his body is, I think they wanted him to look like a fat whale in some
He does
aspect.
Look like a fat
is
whale.
Is it true, too, that, like, Godzilla, it was just Gojira and we heard it wrong, so it was
No, because
Godzilla.
We're stupid Americans think right. they're trying to say LL, and it's not. It's right? actually, you're saying what you're saying.
I would say that the translation from America to English was necessary, but I can't really say I can really say much about that one. Godzilla and Gojira, I'd say that the translation was necessary.
Right.
Americans don't want to walk around saying something in Japanese.
No. But I'm
Which
saying
is
like
ignorant. I've been trying.
But I thought it was like Americans thought he was they were saying Godzilla, and it ended up just Gojira. Working out because
Godzilla.
Godzilla like God.
Right.
And putting it on like a dinosaur name.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do with out. King Kong too. You right. know, it's like a. It's just a powerful name.
It
yeah.
is a very powerful name. Yeah. Like, yeah.
How many movies have so many sequels? Godzilla's the most, I think.
Lots of
I think it's like Godzilla and James Bond that yeah. are like up there with yeah. the most amount of sequels.
Kat, highlights for you from this G-Fest so far.
Okay, so far, well, when I first got here, I'm not kidding. We registered. They head off to the bathroom. I'm standing there. I see this amazing Japanese man in a silver suit. And I just said, hey, I really like your suit.
Yeah.
And he stops and he smiles and he bows at me. And I was like, oh, this man's important. So I bowed back. Then I find out it's Akira Takarada.
Oh, no
way. And I
just
happened to be like, la, 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 watching these other kids like drool as he walks by. And I was like, he's got a nice suit on.
Listen, for our listeners, they're not all Godzilla fans. Who is Akira Takarada?
Well, Akira Takarada's first big role was in Godzilla, 1954.
I like her. She's a good host.
And
right
after
here.
Starring in four more G films, he came back to play the UN General Secretary in the last G film, Godzilla Final Wars.
So he was in the first Godzilla movie and the very and the most recent one. That's amazing.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Well, Mr. Takarada has had many other genre credits.
Of course he has. That's what it says in his bio. Hey, John Belotti's here.
Belotti.
That's John Belotti.
John Belotti
and Nick Shev.
I wish I had more microphones. So you guys, look, I want to give you a moment to plug whatever you want. Where can our listeners find you? Say hi. Where do you want? What do you want them to do?
If you guys want to find me, I really have to say the best way is on Facebook. I'm an admin of the Alternative Friendly Kaiju Collectors Group. That's Ooh. The Alternative Friendly Kaiju Collectors Group because the other ones were pushing a lot of people out for having specific collections. And
Fuck those
we
guys.
Accept all collections.
Yeah, we're friendly. We want
we're
you
friendly,
to collect what you like to collect.
We accept all collections, and we don't bash people, and that's why we have a good time at G-Fest. But if you want to find me, I'm an admin of that group, and all of my work is continuously posted in there. And aside from finding me on Facebook, that's
well,
impossible.
Well, he also has some custom-painted figures.
Right on.
On a shelf at Guzu Gallery in Austin, Texas.
Oh, if cool. you want to follow me on Instagram, yeah. KingBlackAcid86 on
right
Instagram.
On. Kat, what do you got? What do you do?
Well, I'm a musician in a rock band, Blackwater Mountain. I'm the violinist and lead female vocals.
Yeah, I've noticed she's very good with the microphone. I was like, this girl's had experience
work a mic.
On sure. the microphone.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm used to... Never mind. Well,
what was the name of the band again?
Oh, yeah,
Black
a euphemism.
Water Mountain.
Blackwater Mountain.
And we are rock and roll. We're none of that bullshit, pansy, anything else. We're rock and roll. We don't do covers. It's all original.
All originals. Nice. So you got a website. Where can people find you?
Blackwatermountain.com.
Right on.
We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And we are also number one in Houston on Reverb Nation for Ooh. Rock and roll.
Oh.
Nice.
Right on.
Good
well,
shit.
Dude, thanks for hanging out
yes,
and talking to us. You guys are awesome. I'm really glad we got you guys came back. And
Evan okay. has a mic. Evan, do you want to plug anything? Or do we
plug
already take
Instagram.
Care of that?
I will... be premiering my new Facebook very soon.
There you go.
You'll see it on Josh's Kaiju Group.
It might be up and running by tonight or tomorrow.
Catherine will be working with me on
it. And then there's a... You guys have a... What's the other Godzilla artist group that you're always posting to, John Belotti?
Hi, guys. It's Radioactive Renaissance.
Yes, that's a good group.
It's very good.
Lots of good art
I like
there.
It. I like groups. They make me happy.
Well, what do you guys want to do? We're at the end of the yeah. day here. Do you want to... We were going to go out and eat. What are you guys doing? What happens after this now?
Well, you know what? We're still trying to get everyone to hang out with us, and they all split up, and we're trying to have parties and, like, be the cool crowd.
Yeah, right on. Dude, I have so many stories I need to tell you about what happened just from today. You have,
I heard.
Idea,
it spread like wildfire through the artist alley room.
That I have been causing.
Yeah, we'll record this when we go eat.
Yeah, when we go do something. But thanks, guys. Thanks for hanging
out. All right.
Man.
Thank
right
you
on.
Very much.
There's a lot going on in here.
Certainly is.
Thank you.
you guys enjoyed all that crazy audio from G-Fest 2016 in Chicago by the airport. My first G-Fest.
I got to laugh still at the
I broke shit.
Breaking shit.
Anthony met chicks. It was a great day. It was everyone had something.
Everyone got something except Imran. He lost something today.
Look, my $400 loss, listener, is your entertainment game. Let me tell you what.
I can't believe that just because you're not a Godzilla fan, you came in and decided to be destructive and break people's art.
Look,
I
thought literal Godzilla.
Yes, I thought that's what you do at a G-Fest is walk around and smash
things. The Japanese attendees were running from Imran.
How can you play? They're like, oh, no, Dunedin!
The remote control Mazer tanks were coming after Imran.
They weren't affecting him.
They weren't affecting him.
Just being absorbed into his beard.
And then I shot it back out of my my striped beard. Tom Bellotti, why don't you tell the listener, thank you so much for inviting us down. I'm so glad we could meet you face-to-face. It was very exciting. I wish you luck at the next day in G-Fest, and why don't you tell the listener where they can find your stuff?
Oh, well, if you'd be so kind, guys, to look at my website, it's www.robo7.com. That's R-O-B-O, the number 7.com. Instagram at Robo7. It's R-O-B-O-S-E-V-E-N. What else am I on? Twitter, because of you guys.
Yeah,
because
he helped us and got on the show last minute. Can't thank you enough for that. That was a great show.
Oh, that was amazing. I love helping you guys.
That was lots of fun.
Because I also don't have to be up mercilessly early the next day. And where else can you find me? Facebook, John Bellotti Jr. on Facebook. Robo7, daughter John Bellotti Jr. on Facebook. Just find me on Facebook. It's so easy. I'll redirect it from there.
Yeah, he posts in our Facebook group, people, so you can interact with Bellotti on jockinator.com/community.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You go ahead.
I was just saying tpublic.com/robo7.
Get a t-shirt. He's got an awesome t-shirt.
What about Jim over here?
Jeff, why don't you tell us where we can find Nick?
Oh,
what's his fucking name?
Who knows? He's
Nick,
awesome.
Nick, give me your full name now, for the record.
Oh, my full... Oh, because you didn't want to butcher it?
Yes.
You didn't know it?
Yeah, both.
Okay.
Both reasons. No, I know what it is, but I want you to say it.
Okay, so it's Nick Shevelev, but most of you probably know me as Nick Shev, which is my name on Facebook. No, it's shorter.
Okay, so where can people see your work and say hi?
Primarily Facebook, but I also have my site, nickshev.com. And if you want to buy something, contact me. If you want a commission, I'm open for that. So
right on. I'll put all those links in the show notes, listener. Special thanks to the one lady that works at the Dragon Lady Lounge.
So you mean the Dragon Lady?
The Dragon Lady herself.
She's very personable and friendly.
Very charming.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Great personality.
I like how half the menu you can't order. And the things that are on the menu... aren't actually part of
you
that
don't actually
either.
Get them on get the plate
after,
even though
after a certain time you can get them.
Well, look, okay, so
no, you can't get fries with your hot dog, but there's fries.
But there's fries
picture.
In the picture.
This is really becoming a restaurant episode.
No, this is fine. We're gonna end this like this is a check please episode. Tom Bellotti Jr., this was your pick, Dragon Lady Lounge. Would you recommend this to vegan people in Chicago? I mean, based on the kimchi pancakes,
those are good. This on the kimchi
pretty good.
Pancakes,
yeah, the kimchi pancakes are good. I never had any sort of kimchi like pancake, and this is my first, and it's good. I enjoy it. And
it's a very intimate place. You can have the whole place to yourself
you
any time of the day
a
or night.
In here?
And yeah. You can make a porno in here. Probably.
We set up
anything can happen in the fucking Dragon Lady Lounge.
We might actually maybe we should shoot a porn right after this. There's a little couch back there.
Well, we got four dudes, one girl.
Yes. Well,
what are we doing here?
Well, I don't know.
How are we going to do this?
No, it'd be four dudes, one Dragon Lady.
It's going to be Dragon Lady porn. Right. That's all. Right. That's all.
She can definitely handle
that. That would play huge in Japan. Let me tell you what.
This is Korean. Yeah. What a racist.
Racist.
Jeez.
Motherfucker.
Dragon ladies are Korean. That's right. This is Korean. Also,
is Korean.
Korean barbecue is also awesome. Look, listener, thanks for listening. Leave
you
us
know
a
where
review.
To contact us.
Jockinair.com/review. Tell a friend. Thanks for listening. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's the nerd.
And we are out of here. We'll catch you next time.